This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Alongside Seth Payne, I'm Sean Bajani, in for Sean Pendergast. Final hour of the program. Get to a little Astros here in just a bit. I want to stick with the Texans. And Seth, I just saw this article on NFL.com, and it'll kind of help us get to where we want to get here. But the title of it, written by Eric Edholm, is most likely to win their first Super Bowl in 2025, ranking the 12 teams that lack the Lombardi Trophy. Where would you say the Houston Texans, off the top of your head, wind up on this list? Out of 12 teams that have never won a Super Bowl, the most likely to win it for the first time this season, where do you think the Texans finish?
Okay, so I'm guessing the Bills are pretty high up on that.
Bills are number one.
Oh, the Lions have never won. What's that?
Bills are number one.
Okay. I'm guessing the Lions, even with the retirement of their center, Frank Ragnow, yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Frank Ragnow retirement hit a lot harder than the Ronald Darby retirement.
A little bit.
So, boy, the Vikings haven't won, right?
Vikings?
So the Vikings are probably above the Texans at this point.
You just mentioned the two teams. The Bills are number one, as you said. Lions are number two. Vikings are number three.
Okay. I know where I'm going to get PO'd. Is that the Chargers haven't won. And yet, despite getting destroyed by the Texans in the playoffs, I keep seeing the Chargers above the Texans in the playoffs or in the power rankings.
The Chargers are actually behind the Texans in this list.
They are. Okay. Yeah. And then the Bengals are the other tricky one, given the way their defense played last year, but them also having a guy named Joe Burrow. I'm going to say the Texans are, let's see, sixth.
Oh, very close. Your Chargers that you just mentioned are sixth.
Okay.
The Bengals are fourth, and the Texans are actually on the list at five.
Five of the 12 teams that have never won a Super Bowl, which is really, really shows you how hard it is to win a Super Bowl.
Well, it's,
what are we up to? Like Super Bowl 397 by now?
I think it's Super Bowl 60 upcoming this season.
Yeah, you only got 30 times. I mean, for most of the time, fewer than 32 teams, and you got 60 Super Bowls. And when the Patriots... When either the Patriots, the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Cowboys are taking up, and the Steelers are taking up a huge chunk of them, it doesn't leave much space for anybody else.
I'm going to read you just a small excerpt from this write-up on NFL.com as to why they think the Texans are fifth on the list of teams to have the best odds at winning their first Super Bowl in franchise history. It says, this offseason, Houston made significant changes to the roster at wide receiver along offensive line and secondary. Will it pay off? With C.J. Stroud entering year three, the Texans expect to be competitive. The back-to-back reigning AFC South champions should again be the favorites in the division. Houston's schedule appears competitive, but not daunting. DeMeco Ryans looks the part, a very capable young coach, logging a pair of 10-win seasons. The question is whether the Texans can elevate their performance level having struggled to consistently beat their toughest opponents over the past 2 years. This season, they opened with a tough pair of games at Rams and against the Bucks, and they also faced the Ravens, Bills, and Chiefs, and Chargers with most of those contests on the road. Now, that being the case, we were going to talk about levels of concern. Like, what are you most scared of with the Houston Texans right now? Offensive line. So I'd kind of like to do like besides O-line.
Yeah, the offensive line, I think you just have to put up at the top of any power ranking of concerns. In the immediate moment, and it might be assuaged within an hour or so, is just C.J. Stroud's shoulder. Even though I know it's 99% chance it's no big deal, and it's just being careful with a quarterback early in the season. I still don't like seeing C.J. Stroud out there, watching drills and not participating in them. So, if we're gonna power rank him for how immediately concerned I am, it would be C.J. Stroud. But truth be told, that's probably lower on the list unless he goes all through OTAs without throwing or something. Yeah. So the offensive line is first and foremost. I'm just going to throw the tight ends in there because, A, it's also part of pass protection and run blocking, and the tight ends underperformed there. I feel good about Brevin Jordan coming back. I feel good about the potential development of Cade Stover. I'm intrigued by Luke Lachey. I think that at the end of the day, Dalton Schultz is what they said he was, which is, if everything else is right, Dalton Schultz can be productive in a good offense, but you can't rely on him or expect him to be the straw that stirs the drink. He's certainly not a George Kittle or a Travis Kelce or anybody like that. So the tight ends group, like needing to be a part of a genuinely diverse and really good offense, I need to see a Dalton Schultz who's closer to the 2023 version than the 2024 version.
You know, when they hired Nick Caley, just knowing briefly at the time what we did of his, you know, journey, his career path, having worked with tight ends for so long, I always ask the question about new coaches coming in. Like, when they're looking at a roster from the outside looking in, they want this job. He wanted the job with the Texans. And I wonder what player or players does Nick Caley look at and be like, boy, I can't wait to get my hands on that guy. Mm-hmm. Brevin Jordan is the first name that came to my mind because tight end, versatile guy, athlete. We saw his playmaking ability last year when he was healthy, and that's been the question, when he's healthy, .. Who knows what he could be? Is it wild to think that if Brevin Jordan is healthy, that he could be a X factor offensively for the Texans this year?
Yeah, I think, but not in a traditional sense, because I think he's best utilized the way that they've used them in the past, which is kind of a wild card that you throw in there, and you can use them all over the formation. You can put them in the backfield. You can have them line up as a slot. You can do all of these things that keep defenses off balance. But I'm skeptical that he's ever going to develop into a bona fide, you know, inline tight end who's good. He's just not a bigger guy, and he's perfectly willing to run block. It's just that he's going to have some physical limitations. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm willing to be surprised on that, but he's had enough years in the NFL now that I think he is what he is. So, yeah, I almost put Brevin Jordan into the category of tight end that almost like a positionless tight end. The thing with, I think Cade Stover doesn't have the athleticism of a George Kittle or somebody like that, but I think he's smooth enough as a receiver, but also physically looks like he could develop into a good run blocker. He's just so raw that he might end up becoming that second guy amongst your tight ends, but you can really lean on him to be good at run blocking and do a lot of the other stuff. So that's I'm intrigued by him. I think Luke Lachey is a big wild card because he was banged up the last couple of years and didn't look like he really delivered on a lot of the promise he showed early at Iowa. But the thing about these kids from Iowa that get drafted is that pretty much about half of them, more than half of them, I went through, and since in the Kirk Ferentz era, I think they've had 13 or 14. It's in the teens somewhere, number of tight ends drafted in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the majority of them have gone on to have respectable NFL careers, like 4 years plus. Even CJ Fedorowicz was doing some good things until he just started getting concussions all the time. So I'm intrigued by that part of it, and I'm just going to wait and see on that with Luke Lachey. My guess would be he ends up being a practice squad guy this year. There's not necessarily anybody I look at on this roster and think, oh, yeah, that guy's a future All-Pro.
Yeah. Where do you have Christian Harris on your list of, like, things you're most scared of with the Texans at this point in time? Because, man, he started the OTA session as a reported, you know, DNP, working on a side field, like, still worried about this injury situation. It seems to be very mysterious at this point in time, being is that, you know, he missed most of last season, came back, was limited, didn't get a chance to play a lot, and didn't ever seem fully healthy.
This is what I look at with Christian Harris right now in a little bit of a way. I feel like I look at Christian Harris as my lost Bitcoin password. I feel like I had this thing.
I love it.
I had this thing, and it was, but I can't find the password. It could be worth a lot by now. I don't even remember how many Bitcoins I had, but I can't find the password. I wrote it down on a Post-it. My wife threw it out. We're working through it in therapy, but
that's pretty good.
He made so much progress in the second half of 2023, and it looked like, man, D'Amico Ryans has been really good for Christian Harris. And athletically, I think he, athletically, on paper, like, I think he's got a more potential to be good in pass coverage than Henry Toa or Azeez Alshire. But that's all just potential and promise. And what I was really hoping for last year was that, man, if he really turns the corner and he really clicks in D'Amico's system, he could end up being a Dre Greenlaw Fred Warner is putting it way up there. But one of those types of guys where, man, he actually ends up helping your defensive backs out instead of needing to be protected by your defensive backs in coverage. So I don't know what to think other than that I was all set and ready that, okay, Christian Harris had this mysterious injury all last season. Let's see what he looks like in OTAs. And then lo and behold, he's out there, but he's not doing anything in OTAs. So until I find that Bitcoin password, I kind of just have set that emotion off to the side.
You know, like with Harris, okay, put him to the side for a second. With the emergence and improvement of Henry Toa, that's probably a better way to say it. The improvement of Henry Toa, and you put him alongside Azeez Alshire, and the Texans bring in EJ Speed this offseason. You know, Christian Harris, does he kind of start to feel like a bit of an afterthought at some point, just given his lack of availability? Do you still feel good with the linebackers that you do have in terms of the depth?
I do. I think the linebacker competition is going to be really interesting in training camp. Because remember, Jamal Hill from last year that they drafted, he was very raw as a linebacker. And it was, I think, it would have been a big surprise if he had played a lot last year. But you watch him at Oregon, and it was like, man, this guy's really just learning the position. So when it comes to playing in the NFL, athletically, he's very, very intriguing. And it'll be interesting to see exactly how he does this year. But I think that the biggest thing I'm concerned about with the linebackers in general is just that they're not very good in coverage. And that's and maybe Jamal Hill ends up taking a giant leap forward there. And there's things you can do. I mean, with Henry Toa, he's still ascending. He improved a lot from year one to year two. Athletically, I don't think he's ever going to be really like impressive in coverage. But with your linebackers in coverage, a lot of it is just the anticipating routes, knowing when you can chuck a guy, all that stuff. And like last year, some of his glitches in pass coverage were more, you could tell he was a half step late on reading the route or anticipating the route. You can make up for that a lot. You know, Brian Cushing wasn't great in a vacuum in pass coverage, but they did a really good job of kind of managing what he could and couldn't do. So that's the upside there. I think Azeez Alshire is what he is as a coverage linebacker. But in playing in this defense with these guys, can he become a little bit smarter about just the angles, the reads, all of that? And like that can improve this year. But right now they don't have a starter who I think looks that can actually help you open the playbook up on defense.
Yeah.
You know, ideally, when you have guys, Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis were the prime example of where when you had linebackers like that with San Francisco, it makes it so much easier for your linebacker or for your defensive backs because those linebackers can cover tight ends down the seam and do all that kind of stuff to take some pressure off of them. And the Texans just aren't there right now with the linebackers.
Sean Bajani in for Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. Do you have like another big issue? Because off the top of my head, I'm thinking about this receiver core. We've been talking a lot about Jaden Higgins and Noel, and very excited about those guys pairing with Christian Kirk and Nico Collins. But, you know, 50% of it, of the guys that I just mentioned, they're unproven. They're rookies.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a new play caller, a new offensive coordinator that both are new to him and Nick Caley. He's never done it before. Are we overlooking, like, just the lack of experience at those particular positions and, you know, coaching responsibilities?
Right. I do get nervous when I start getting too excited about any given rookie. And when you're looking at two rookies in the wide receiver room, it's really perilous when you just start thinking, oh, yeah, totally. Our second and third round picks are going to be studs for us this year. It happens. Yeah. And it certainly can happen. But you got to be really careful about leaning into it. Christian Kirk's presence helps a lot, but he's also got a speckled injury history over the past few years. Part of it is I think that if you get a little bit away from the excitement of the draft and you remind yourself that, man, there are, as you said, it's not just unproven guys or new guys. It's unproven and new guys with a new offensive coordinator in a new offense. I'm going to try real hard, Sean, and it's hard doing what we do. I'm going to try to be really patient the first few weeks of the season. We'll see how many minutes into the first game that lasts.
I was going to say over under 2.5 weeks, but I mean, you're talking first game.
We see this all the time where, I mean, you know what? It happened with the Eagles defensively last year. At the beginning of the season, people were saying, Vic Fangio, what the hell did they bring this guy in for? Oh, they suck. And then they end up being awesome and they win the Super Bowl. So I'm going to try really, really hard to remind myself of that, but I know I'm going to fail. Yeah, it's like when I go to a birthday party and I'm like, I'm going to have one piece of cake. That's what I'm going to do. It's all I have to do today. Have one piece of cake.
Yeah, you say the same thing every game day in the press box. I'm only going to have one dessert. And then after three different trips to the snack bar.
I can't do it this year. My A1C reflected my eating habits this year. So I'm like, now, but I understand. I'm like an alcoholic with alcohol. I know that I can't. If you're a recovering alcoholic, you can't go down that road where you're like, well, I'm going to have two beers and that's it. I can't do that with sugar. I can't. I just can't do it. If I have one cupcake, I'm going to have 17. So
I'm going to have to keep an eye on you. I'm going to have to keep an eye on you.
I've stayed away from all refined sugar for other than at one birthday party for a good chunk of time now where I had like 17 cupcakes.
Good luck. Coming up next, what do we make of the latest comments from Astros GM Dana Brown? We'll have him for you next. Stay there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin. at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
There. All right, in for Sean Pendergast. I'm Sean Bajani. Seth Payne with me as well. Taking you up until 10 o'clock. Just saw Reggie Atatula. Imagine John Lopez going to be in his house. We'll talk to those guys here in a couple of segments.
Reginald, we were talking earlier about how we kind of miss the Sports Radio 610 Combine that we used to do because it was a lot of fun. And you're really good at it. You're one of the stronger participants. But we figured
2-time push-up champion, bro.
Yeah, and at this point, I was I don't know anything about Reginald's athletic background, but just by virtue of relative youth and non-obesity, I feel like he would be one of the better ones. And then if he is actually an athlete on top of that, then you might have somebody to push and compete with you.
I would strongly favor Reggie Atatula to win a Sports Radio 610 Combine if we ever had one of those again. I don't know anything about him athletically. He just he looks like he's an in-shape dude.
He's fit, yeah. He's
yeah,
fit.
He definitely does. Though, push-up contest, like, don't even try me. Don't even try me.
No, yeah, you've got like that bull rider physique of like I bet you're probably the damn kid that could do 15 like 25 pull-ups in gym class, no big deal.
Used to,
but when you're back in the day, I always used to be, man, like that's one thing bigger guys would be jealous of in terms of the body, like strength to body weight ratio. When you're a bigger guy, you're just not as good at it as like a mid-sized dude or a smaller dude. So like in wrestling, especially, you know, the lightweight guys are always just doing all the pull-ups and everything and getting whip out pull-ups. Yeah, like I'm super jealous. I'm jealous of people that can do a boatload of pull-ups. And then also, as I get older and I veered more towards just doing endurance exercise and everything, if I see you at the grocery store and you're some dude that's like 5'11", 135 pounds, and you're wearing fancy running shoes with your fancy, you know, fitness watch on and everything, I'm like, oh, this dude can probably crank out 5-minute miles like it's nothing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very, very jealous of you. Yeah. The days of having a big bench press doesn't really do it for you anymore once you're in your 50s.
I recently started running again, and even just like my pace now, it is nowhere close to what it was 5 years ago when I was running marathons. It's wild.
Isn't it nuts how decrepit you get? I know, honestly, you think about how fast you could run a mile when you were in high school. And I wasn't like I was ever a good distance runner or anything. I was a bigger guy, but oh my God. Yeah. I don't even want to tell you how fast I ran the last mile I like actually gutted it out on.
When I was coaching, I did I was the distance coach on the boys track team.
Yeah.
And, you know, doing seventh and eighth grade boys track, I would have at least one kid every year that, you know, they'd start off, you know, 6.5, 7 minute mile. I'd get them down to, you know, five. There was one kiddo who ran a sub five in eighth grade.
And, in eighth grade?
Yeah, eighth grade. Ridiculous. And he ended up running like a 4:34. Where did he go? I can't remember now. It wasn't at U of H. It was somewhere. I can't remember what college he went to. Really great kid. Shout out Travion Clayton, man. I used to tell my coach, like, when we were training, I'd run with the kids sometimes. I'm like, all right, time me on the mile. I felt great about myself if I could get close to, like, seven.
Yeah. And,
now, no way. I think I would die of, like, heat exhaustion right now. If I try,
honestly,
that.
That is one of the ones that if you ever, I'm so impressed with distance runners because you go like there's time. I used to live, I've lived on two different marathon routes in my life. One, the and in Houston, obviously, Houston, I've either lived near the route or I've tried to get coffee in the morning and I've like left to the coffee place before the route was closed off and then I try to get back home and I've like been trapped by the hurricane trapped by the marathon route. I couldn't figure out how to get out of the marathon. But when you watch the leaders and by leaders in my event, I'd say anybody who finishes in the top 25%, I'm watching them run and I'm like, how the hell are they doing this for 26 miles?
It's
running all out. They are just striding. It would be like an all-out treadmill workout
Me. The dudes 5.5 minute mile pace. Do that
it's
26 times.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, man. This guy, man, we need him to go the distance like whenever he does come back. And that's Yordan Alvarez. Who knows when that's going to be? I know you talked about some Dana Brown comments with B. Scott yesterday, but there was this one in particular that I wanted to bring up to you. Dana Brown was on the Astros pregame show on Sunday, and this is what he had to say in regards to the injury situation with Yordan. Quote, he said it wasn't the normal pain that he usually gets in his hand, so he thought maybe he could grind through it, and it was just soreness. Maybe at the point we probably should have shut him down. Maybe for a week, given it a chance to heal, and not let him try, emphasis on not let him try to fight through it, and potentially cause more damage, end quote from Dana Brown. So
this is... Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you your opinion because you and I were going back and forth earlier and I'd said something to the effect that, you know, I feel like Dana Brown and the Astros medical staff, like, look, they take heat. And you know what? They should, because the recovery time for these pitchers that have undergone, you know, elbow surgery, Tommy John's shoulder, it's just been ridiculous from Luis Garcia to Lance McCullers, and God forbid, you know, we see this with Christian Javier and J.P. France. He's a little bit of a different case. You know, the odds are already stacked way against him in returning. But, you know, for Yordan, this is not the first time that he's dealt with a hinge injury. So if he says, you know what, it feels different, maybe I can push through it. Okay, well, he only missed 11 games a few years ago in 21 whenever this was a situation. It's been a minute since he's had this.
You know what, though? I'll also confess to poor reading comprehension on my part, or at least kind of not. I was reading it through a certain filter, and maybe it was when I heard it and then read it. I can't. But when Dana Brown said he said it wasn't the normal pain that he usually gets in his hand, the way I heard that was that it was either a more extreme pain or a different type of pain. When in reality, I think what Dana Brown is saying there, it obviously, is that it wasn't as much pain. So, like, it wasn't the normal pain, so it wasn't as much pain. So, like, that makes – that part of it makes sense, I suppose, since he's had this before. I interpreted it wrong or potentially incorrectly the first time because when I heard it, I thought, wait a second. He's saying it doesn't feel the way it normally feels when he has this. And you're not investigating it, but if it was just a matter that there wasn't as much pain as usual, I kind of get that, I guess. But it's not like, listen, I know you don't want to do too much imaging because there are, you know, there's potential long-term risks of more imaging you get and everything. But it's a hand X-ray or it's a hand MRI. Just get the do a few extra.
Take some pictures. Here's the thing. He said it wasn't the normal pain that he usually gets, like as if
Yeah.
He gets this all the time.
And yeah.
There's one other time that I just mentioned, 2021, of a documented, like, lengthy period of time that he had to miss. Now, this guy hasn't played baseball in a month. The last game that he played was May 2nd. Here we are at June 3rd, and who knows when he's going to come back, if there's a fracture and he's only 60% or whatever the percentage is now that he's re-aggravated this. This is what Yordan Alvarez said when they recently asked him about it. Quote, "I kept playing because I've played before with pain in my hand. I didn't think it was going to be something big, but I think the fact that I kept playing caused my hand to stress more and caused the small fracture." This is, again, the point that I want to make, in that, hey, the player is hurt. The player makes team aware that the player is hurt. But at what point in time does the team need to save the player from himself, regardless of who you are? If you're Yordan Alvarez, if you're Jose Altuve, or if you're Brendan Rodgers, does it really matter? Like, you need this guy, and they're occupying an important piece on a 26-man roster. At what point in time are you the Astros that say, you know what, like, boy, we're down three guys in our starting rotation. Boy, we've got underperformance going on some of our everyday players. We've got to nip this in the bud. Now, that's where I think the Astros are very much at fault. Like, this is a guy that you've committed 5 years and 100-some-odd million dollars to, and they get a few more years left on their deal, and they're one of the best hitters in the game. You have to optimize what you can of Yordan, and I don't think the Astros did that at all here.
It's tough, and this would be the hard part about that is this is because of the Kyle Tucker situation last year, and because it's so eerily similar that you don't hear anything from a player for weeks, or in the case of Kyle Tucker, months. And then you find out, oh, they discovered a break late in the process. That's a part where, man, I don't know if two is enough to constitute a trend, but then you stack it on top of the multiple, more than average Tommy John surgeries that the Astros pitchers have had, the setbacks that they've had with it. But there is also the part of, man, when it is a hand injury that you've worked through before and it hasn't been a broken bone issue in those instances, you know, the players themselves and their communication with the training staff, the guys are generally normally playing through some kind of thing. Most guys in a long baseball season are playing through some kind of pain. And you don't want to be a hypochondriac or a malingerer about it. And that's where the haziness of it comes in, and where it's not an exact science. And if it were just this situation and just Yordan, it wouldn't be as frustrating if all of those other factors in previous examples didn't exist. That's where you just start to wonder what the hell is going on here.
Yeah, exactly, man. It's going to be something to watch for. The piece that Chandler Rome talked about on his podcast recently, like about the perception, you know, with the Astros medical staff, you know, it being a really bad look. Like, it's been a bad look now for a couple of years. It's just now coming to a head because here's a non-pitcher. And Yordan Alvarez, like I said, one of the best hitters in the game, that you have now been, your handling of it's been a bit negligent, I feel like. But in the same breath, I do think that the players got to understand the situation as well. And maybe that's too much to ask. I don't know. You being a former athlete yourself, like, I'm asking you, Seth, hey, you know when you're hurt. You know when to kind of cool it.
Right.
That's difficult. I
mean, they did at least two MRIs, and the first MRI didn't show anything because of the swelling and everything.
Yeah.
And whatever the x-rays, you can tell. It wasn't until the second MRI, and because he's been through these situations before, it's nice to have hard and fast opinions about the way things should have gone. But yeah, I had 14 or 15 orthopedic surgeries in my NFL career. And in a few of them, that I had complications and it was dicey, and I can't look back on them and think, well, the team should have known that this was what was going on, because it's just, I mean, there's a lot of things. It's kind of like, you know how lawyers talk about this, how it's tough sometimes because juries come in, and because they watch so much television, they expect there to be conclusive DNA evidence about everything. And like, you're like, no, it's not always so cut and dry. It's not like, oh, somebody stole a candy bar, did they? Let's swab and see the DNA test of it. It's not, the technology is not as good as you want to believe it is or you think it is. And I think that's what happens with sports injuries.
Yeah.
As great as the technology is, when it comes to diagnosing things, it's actually kind of tough, especially when it comes to tiny little bones in the hand. So I want to give them a pass, and it would help me help you, Astros. Help me just by just being a little bit more transparent about this stuff. And maybe an update here or there explaining what's going on instead of, nope, everything's fine, everything's fine. The classic example was when a day or two before Christian Javier was going to have his Tommy John surgery, the update from Espada was, yeah, he's feeling a lot better. Like, all right. And then all of a sudden you find out that him and Luis Garcia are going in hand in hand to have their Tommy Johns done.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we need to get an update on Luis Garcia. He threw a bullpen this weekend. I'll be looking for the updates there.
I like
this
his glasses. That's the only thing I can get excited about with Luis Garcia. I like his glasses.
The glasses.
A lot of guys, I don't like CJ's glasses. Those ones that he wears, the clear ones that kind of make him look like a school marm or something.
Yeah, he wears the same ones that Charles Barkley wears on his podcast sometimes. It doesn't work. Final segment coming up next. We'll talk with the guys from In the Loop and get you set for Astros opening a 6-game roadie tonight. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
All right, final segment of the morning. In what? For Sean Pendergast, Sean Bajani, he's Seth Payne. Happy Lance McCullers Jr. Day, everybody. Boy, what an incredible pitching matchup we've got tonight, potentially, right? Lance McCullers coming off a 12-strikeout performance against the A's the other day. And you get Paul Skenes on the mound for the Pirates tonight.
It could end up being kind of like Hunter Brown versus Taj Bradley. And it's it might be a 1-0 game or what have you.
Yeah.
That was that weird series with the Rays that you're outscored 30-9, but you split the series. And it was everything about the Astros that you can get excited about or get nervous about, which is, hey, you got a couple of your aces out there. Framber pitches an 83-pitch complete game. That game, by the way, Sean, it took 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh, I know.
That
screwed my rundown up because that was Friday. And we do an H-Town post-game show, which generally hits at around 9:40.
Yeah.
I think it hit around 8:45 that night or something like that. I was like, ah, hell, this rundown went to hell pretty quick. But 83-pitch, 9-inning complete game, I started thinking immediately, this has to be some sort of like historical marker, right? Like how many times in Major League Baseball have you ever seen that? I always think of, because it was in my lifetime, nobody's ever really done it aside from Greg Maddux, late 90s, 78-pitch, 9-inning complete game. That's what I think of. That's the mark. And it's like, boy, to research and find out that guys back in the 40s needed like 59 or 62 pitches to get through a complete game, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, I remember watching old Red Barrett do it in 1944.
Oh, you remember?
I remember watching that game. I was at that game.
You did the research, too. You just pulled that name out.
Yeah, 58 pitches. That's the record. Fewest pitches thrown in a complete game is 58. It was August 10th of 1944. Threw a 2-0 shutout against the Cincinnati Reds.
Wild. Yeah, we might be in for a great one tonight, man. This is a big road trip, if you really think about it, because it's 6 games, and I don't know who the Mariners are playing. I think they've got the Orioles. They're hosting the Orioles tonight, and you know the Orioles aren't really a great team. They've been struggling all season long. They've fired their manager, and you know they're going through it. They're severely underperforming, at least, you know, versus what they accomplished last year and the build that we've seen over the course of the last 3 years. We'll see. These 6 games, you got against the Pirates, you got against the Reds, 2 teams that you feel like, you know what, this is a pretty good opportunity for the Astros with the way that they've been pitching, maybe the hitting starting to come around. You should win, you know, maybe go 4-2 of the next 6 and feel pretty good about your chances of being in first place by week's end.
Yeah, you're facing the 2 worst teams in the NL Central right now. And Lance McCullers is going up against one of the worst offensive teams in baseball tonight. So yes, you're facing Paul Skenes, but I don't want to diminish the ability of any team to shell any pitcher or what have you, but this is a good opportunity for Lance to build on those 6 innings that he pitched in his last outing. And these last 3 games, he's got a 3.5 ERA or so that he's rounded into form after those two kind of either the first game he didn't allow any runs, but it was precarious. Second game he got shelled. This is a good opportunity to have to just keep stacking these stones.
You know, did you see Lance talk to the media after his last start? He was asked a particular, I think Christy Rieken asked him this question. It's like, hey, do you, you know, kind of, when do you think you'll get back or feel like your normal self again? It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
And Lance said, you know, basically that, hey, you know, after my first surgery, I had to kind of reinvent myself as a pitcher and I was different. And then now after this surgery, he feels like he's having to do the same thing. And the follow-up question is what I was interested in that wasn't asked, why and how.
Right.
And I think we can kind of see it, though, where, you know, before the injuries, Lance could ring it up there 96 miles per hour and maybe rely much more heavily on the fastball than he is nowadays, which is more slider, knuckle curve, the break and stuff, which looks to be maybe better. If you judge just that A's game alone, this looks like one of the best versions of Lance McCullers that we'd seen maybe ever since 24 straight curveballs in the World Series kind of.
Yeah,
Lance.
I think it's hard. I wish, you know, with the limited number of appearances he's had, it's hard to look at any of his overall stats because it's skewed so much by that horrible, horrible second game.
Yeah.
But I think some of it, it's weird that his velocity is down, and yet also he's also throwing a four-seam fastball for the first time since 2018. He had pretty much eliminated that from his repertoire. But I think in trying to maybe find out if his velocity is down, but he has to get some of it in to offset some of his movement pitches, he's got to just show some top-end velocity at times so there's a bigger gap between them.
Yeah.
It's learning to manage all of those things and exactly what can I and can't I do. How's my Lance's curveball used to be damn near as fast as a lot of major league pitchers' fastballs. And to try to figure out exactly where you are on all that, it's a completely different approach. So I think no matter how the season ends for him, even if he does really, really well this year, I think there's going to be a few more hiccups along the way, and it's not the end of the world, but he's just trying to figure out exactly what he can and cannot lean into.
Yeah, no, I think the hiccups, you know, should be expected. It shouldn't be like, hey, here's this ramp up process, you know, looked really ugly early on, you know, with the high pitch counts, and he's giving you three innings or an inning and two thirds, and, you know, he gets beat up that one game, gives up seven runs or whatever. Look, it's not all of a sudden like, hey, he's figured it out and now it's off to the races. It would be great if that were the case, but keep in mind, you know, this is going to be his sixth start this season, okay, since his return. And I don't care who it's against, when a book gets out there on you and, you know, major league hitters are able to see that and adjust, now is the chess game for Lance. Okay, hitters are going to adjust to you. Can you adjust back? And it's the constant back and forth. Exactly like we've seen, and Joe Espada's talked about it so many times already just this season with Hunter Brown. He mentions it after every time Hunter Brown pitches. Boy, how much more mature he is and how he can handle, you know, the ebbs and flows of a game, similarly to the way that we talked about and still do with Framber Valdez. You know, when something doesn't go his way, is he able to kind of, all right, compartmentalize that, put your head down and, you know, nose to the grindstone and get through it, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And, we've already seen it a couple times where Lance will kind of struggle in the first inning and then rein it all back in. There was the first game or the third game. The first game was the one where he went out for the fourth inning and we didn't expect him to be, but he was right on the edge of losing it in the first couple innings. Then he came out and just mowed down three batters in a row in the third inning. Mm-hmm. Like that part of it, he's been through so many of these different things and these challenges that I feel good about. Like, I think the mental side of it, I'm not worried about whatsoever. It's just a matter of, man, does he find that magical mixture and figure out exactly what he can lean into?
We need to make a decision because we've gotten like five texts this morning about our situation. It's like, when are you guys going to decide to throw down and fight? People want to see us box.
I've already said that. Like, we're not. Right. Maybe people thought I was joking. I'm not. Listen, I'm 50 years old. Okay. I know I've boxed before. I know how taxing it is. I don't need that. I don't need to stroke out over a nonsense boxing match or something. All right. That's not the plan I'm on.
All right. I'm glad you put that to bed and not me, because I would have heard about it. Oh, you're going to make all these claims that you could whoop Seth's ass and now you're going to back up. No.
No, I'm bad. Yeah. Seth back down. So Seth back down.
Because Seth back down. I am now the undisputed champion. you heard it here first.
Somebody used to try to bait me. I remember it was when I was talking some smack about Taylor Lewan back in the day. And I said something like, somebody was like, you should fight him, Seth. And I'm like, look, Taylor Lewan is in his athletic prime. He's 300 and whatever pounds he was and in good shape. I ain't fighting him now. And this guy would not relent. He was like, you already showed you're a punk. You're a punk. And I'm like, all right, dude, call me a punk. That's fine. All right. I would fight him if I had to, obviously. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to freaking fight a guy when the cards are stacked against me like that.
Reggie Atatilla.
If you get to a certain age and you can still be baited by being called a punk or something, you got to do some work on yourself, all right? Yeah, there's zero part of me that needs to prove myself in physical combat with anybody right now. Unless World War III begins or something, then I'll sign up.
Yeah. I don't know that Reggie needs to feel like he needs to prove himself or anything, but you were the topic of conversation earlier, Reggie.
Nice.
As Reggie and John Lopez join us, the guys from In the Loop, we were talking about, like, man, if we had the Sports Radio 610 Combine again like we used to back in the day, who would be the favorite? And I nominated you as the favorite to win the competition amongst at least people here at the station.
Reginald, you are talking to a two-time champion in Sean Bajani. Sean was dominant in a lot of the categories.
That's high praise. I appreciate that. I feel like you probably had me beat a little bit more than you give yourself credit for. Like, I heard you talking about the push-ups, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I look like I beat solid push-ups, but one thing that gets me is I got long arms, and then that makes it so that...
Oh, you got a longer way to go down.
Yeah, man, it's just a little bit more leverage that you got to get into that thing. And
Reginald, that's one of my pet peeves about draft reports, like scouting reports, because people say, oh, this guy's strong as hell. 45 reps on the bench press, weakness, very short arms. Yeah, they're kind of related. Yeah.
Crosstalk presented by D&M Auto Leasing. Reggie,
I want to do that, though.
John Lopez, what? Do a push-up contest?
No, not that. Specifically, not that. But, like, the actual combine, like, I do want to get out here and display my
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I miss those.
It was fun for the listeners. Yeah. The listeners came out. Yeah, yeah, Reginald, it was everybody. It wasn't just us, like, that we did for social media or something. It was a big event. Bunch of listeners would come out. And the tough part about it was that we would run the 40, but it was electronically timed. And I would say 90% of people were just that, like, devastated emotionally.
Oh, yeah. We do need that hand time where you get a little bit light on it.
Hand time. Who's got the hand time?
Yeah, from your high school coach. That's right. Like, oh, yeah, you ran a 4.7, you did. Yeah.
Wind aided and just a little bit early on the clock. Yeah.
I remember that. I think one of the last combines we did, I remember Matt Murphy. He got up there, former Texan tight end Matt Murphy, got up there, stretched out everything.
Oh.
And he's ready to run. He's ready to run the 40. I don't even know if he made it to the 40. He did. He tore his hamstring doing the 40. Yeah, he tore the first 10 yards. I felt
torn. That was the one that we did at Rice, I think.
That was at Rice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's the bad part about it. It's like, it's all fun and game until somebody goes down, right? Mm-hmm. Like, until somebody sustains a major injury and
he brought the kiddo. He stretched out, like, had the cleats going on, and then pop!
Yeah.
Sheesh.
Oh my goodness. Seth, my man, had good times with you this morning. Appreciate you, man. It's been a minute.
Yeah, great job, man.
Appreciate you.
I'll miss you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.